And that was one of the things, again, that came through the group records, where we were actually shown that we all have a nerve network in our solar plexus that connects to the magnetic grid around the Earth. And actually, it's a level where we all connect to each other is through the solar plexus nerve network. And they were saying that because that particular spot connects to our power center and connects to our emotional bodies, that this low pulsing stuff that they're doing as well, sending these frequency pulses that literally make us feel low and feel depressed and put negative thoughts within our emotional body, is the way that they actually help create a lot of these cataclysms. And I found that that was just so interesting, because they were saying how they really do use the human biology to actually orchestrate some of this stuff. And the other part of it, religiously, is that there's so many groups that believe in Armageddon, expect Armageddon. And, you know, the One World Order would be just happy to create a little bit of that for us to try to prove to these people that their religions are right. But really, they're just using those beliefs as a way to orchestrate more havoc, in my opinion, anyway.
Right. Well, I don't doubt that a bit. You know, we do a lot of geopolitical situations on the planet, too. Not only that, but I think I wanted to ask you that these pulses that you're talking about, are we referring to HARP?
Well, HARP is one, but I just think there's a lot of pulses that come off cell towers.
Right.
And I do think there's, you know, yes, underwater stuff with HARP through the Earth, but even some of the artificial weather patterns, and I'll give you an example of that in terms of what they do emotionally, whatever frequency they're using to alter weather. We were actually driving through West Virginia probably a year ago, I'd say, and we were going through the mountains, and this hailstorm came upon us, which, of course, isn't that unusual. But what was unusual about it was the size of the hail was huge, and it didn't stop for 45 minutes. But the feeling I had in it was not like a normal storm. The clouds took on very strange shapes that we commented that we'd never seen clouds like that. They actually looked like waves, ocean waves in the sky. They were very strange. But emotionally, the way it impacted us was you actually felt that you were in hell, that there was no way you were going to come out of this. The emotional feeling was being like being in a very dark hole. And that's what was, it felt sinister. And every car and truck pulled off the highway and waited for this to pass. And I was never so happy to come out into the light after that storm, because emotionally it made me feel like I was never going to get out. And I just think that that's part of what they're doing with whatever frequencies that they're using.
Usually about this time we take a break. Can you stay with us for a little bit more? We got some more questions.
Sure.
To ask.
Yeah,
and
that'd be great.
We do have interactive chat here, so we've got some questions in chat, and we'll let people get those answered. And we'll be back in about 5 minutes. We're going to take a break to relieve ourselves or get a drink or just relax for a second. We'll play a couple of songs for you, and we will be right back. We are live at Project Freedom Radio. Okay, there we go.
Standing in the spotlight on such a perfect night, knowing that you're out there listening. I remember one time when I was so afraid, didn't think I had the courage to stand up on this stage. Then you reached into my heart and you found the melody. And if there ever was somebody who made me believe in me, It was you. It was you. It was your song that made me sing. It was your voice that gave me wings. And it was your light that shined, guiding my heart to find this place where I belong. It was your song. Every night I pray before the music starts to play that I'll do my best and I won't let you down. And for all the times I've stood here, this feeling feels brand new. And any time I doubt myself, I think of you. 'Cause it was your song that made me sing. It was your voice that gave me wings. But it was your
starts. Team of wild horses couldn't tear us apart.
Try to
take a tiger from his daddy's side. That's how love is gonna keep us tied on. Yes, sir, oh yeah. I'm gonna stick like glue, because I'm stuck on you. I'm gonna stick like glue, because I'm stuck on you.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
And we are live back on Project Freedom Radio. And, yeah, I got another question for you.
Okay.
Ready? What I wanted to do, I thought I was very intrigued by it, actually. Who are the Indigo, Crystal, and Rainbow Children?
Right. Yeah, so what did you want to know about them?
just what your thoughts are on the Indigo Children, and you know, where did they get their knowledge from? Where did they? Why are they so different?
Right. Well, the answers I've gotten from source mm-hmm. are that the Indigo Children actually come from a plane of existence very close to source, and they do carry a lot of pure information from source. And I tried to locate, when I was in the records, an actual planet or system that they would have come from, and I couldn't find one. I was only shown a plane of spirit where they came from, which I thought was very interesting. Now, it doesn't mean that they've not come here before and had other lifetimes here, because I do believe they have. And I do believe a lot of us who are in our 50s and 60s are Indigo Children, who have been coming in here, I think, in the last 100 years to begin to lay down a certain frequency pattern in the Earth to allow for this shift into a more positive world. And I, so, you know, the children that have evolved since then, the crystals in particular, to me are almost an advanced version of Indigo. They seem to come in with many more, let's say, exceptional gifts right off the bat. I believe they have achieved a bit more mastery in terms of having more experiences throughout the universes than many of the Indigos. But the fact that they can even come here and have a biology that they have with such exceptional gifts proves to me that we are definitely, you know, a species into a more spiritually awake and biologically awake life form. And the Rainbow Children that come here, what I have seen is they're almost like little baby avatars. There's been a story about a particular rainbow child that was born, that when it was delivered by the doctors and nurses, they actually knelt down. They actually recognized this child as being something very holy or very unique and inspiring awe. And that is my interpretation or the information that I get about the Rainbow Children. I don't believe there's very many of them incarnate right now. Mm-hmm. I believe there's more of those to come. But they are almost holding this sacred space of peace within their biologies and within the grid. So you would be seeing children who would be extremely Christ-like in their essence, very, very peaceful and loving and very, very, very benign. Now, I've also been shown that there's actually another group of advanced children coming in after those, but I don't expect to see that probably for another 8 to 10 years, which were called the Golden Ones, where they would be carrying such a huge influx of golden light in their being, and their biologies would be activated. But the information I'm getting is that these aren't just children who are spiritually advanced. They're children that are coming in and advancing the human biology. And so because of that, that gives me great hope. It makes me, when we're confronted with such an assault on our freedoms, and certainly even in talking about, you know, the type of pulsing that's going on to energetically affect us on mental and emotional levels and physical levels, actually, it actually gives me hope to see that there's so many of these kids coming in en masse. You'll see more and more of them as we move into the future. But it is showing a type of a resurrection of the human biology. And I use that word deliberately because that's what Source has actually shown to me, that the biology of the human is changing, and I think these children are proof of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting. We have a question from Zami. In your opinion, in your opinion, who are they that are controlling the technology like HARP and that affects our frequencies?
Well, the they that I'm referring to, now I do believe there's an elite group of families that run the world, and people who've heard of the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and, you know, the elite that are the real power behind the governments. But I also think that many of the governments are involved in this. Now, not all of them. I do believe there's certain governments who really do not want to participate in this scheme to keep the world enslaved. But I think that the influence of these families that have been running the show for hundreds of years is behind a lot of the other governments of the world. So, I don't think it's a huge group, interestingly enough, but it just happens to be the ones with all of the money and the power.
Right.
So I will interject here that I do, you know, getting into some ET topics here, I do believe there are reptilian races that are behind some of this, and some negative extraterrestrials who actually function, you know, below the Earth and also on some overtones just above the Earth that are in cohort with these governments. Certainly, I believe they've given them a lot of the technology, and I do believe a lot of the ships we see are our own.
Well, I was under that influence, too. Or under that opinion, too. Do you think that there is benevolent entities visiting the Earth?
I do, but I feel that they haven't been given permission to be here until recently. And I found that was interesting by Source, because what it looked like to me was that, you know, the negative forces have been given a certain amount of time to control the Earth. And, you know, Source has let us know that that time is over. And because of that, different light beings that, let's say, have been holding space up until now have actually been given permission to not only incarnate here, in a greater way, but influence us in a greater way. And I think that that's a permission that's been given probably just within the last year or two.
What's your view on orbs? Like, what are they?
Yeah, that's a good question. well, I do think some of them are definite spirits that are not incarnate. I don't have a blanket answer for that, Bobby, to be honest, because I think there are a variety of things. Mm-hmm. On one level, I do think they are spirit beings. I also think they're thought forms that we have. And the fact, if you could imagine when you think, reminds me of that little cartoon, you know, when somebody would draw a person thinking, they draw these little round clouds, do you know? Bubbles are coming out of their head, okay? And I do think some orbs are our own thought forms, and I don't believe all orbs are positive, okay? And even if you see some of them aren't even shaped completely spherical. They look like they have parts missing. And then there's others that are just beautiful geometries, okay? So I do think that they are beings in and of themselves. So whether they're spirits in and of themselves that have nothing to do with us, that's one level of them. and I do think they're materialized thought forms of ourselves as well, positive and negative. Okay, so for example, I don't know if you ever saw Richard C. Hoagland put out a video, a DVD many years ago called the the hyperdimensional election of Barack Obama. Did you ever see that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, what was so interesting about it is he actually had a photograph of when Obama was being sworn in the streets of Chicago, and there were just millions of orbs all over the streets. I mean, millions. But it seemed to match how many people were there as well. So I think that was a combination of other beings that have came to be present during that, but also with the thought forms of many people floating in the air around the event. So that's my own opinion. I do believe you could probably dialogue with orbs. You could have conversations with them. We've had orbs show up in the group Akashic sessions, and oftentimes those were beings from a different dimension that were coming to listen. So I don't think it's a blanket answer with them, but definitely the one thing I can say is they do seem to be very alive and conscious.
Well, I was always of the opinion that there was a possibility of them being a manifestation of our own thoughts.
Right.
The exact tesseract moment where wave becomes particle.
Yep.
And I think one of the things is, too, that, you know, we have interviewed Patty Greer. She's an award-winning documentary filmmaker on crop circles. Mm-hmm. And there has been many orbs seen flying around at the time of the making of the crop circles. And I'm wondering if it isn't just a conscious, let's say, a singularity of collective thoughts manifesting itself in the form of crop circles.
Well, that's definitely a possibility, and it's interesting you bring those up because I am actually helping somebody decipher crop circles. The person actually has mother tinctures from many of the circles going back to 2003, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where they, you know, wanted to make essences out of them, but they didn't really know what they could be used for. So they've actually hired me to go into the records and look at these different circles and interpret them. And I find a wide gamut of origins, actually. You know, some of them, you know, have come from civilizations underneath the earth, and whether those civilizations are taking the form of orbs, it doesn't really matter to me because it just denotes higher consciousness. But certainly I've gotten ET involvement in some of them, and there are some that are just negative, and, you know, basically I've just said, don't even bother, you know, trying to do anything with that one. But a lot of them do have geometries that are to stimulate higher consciousness, and, you know, have to do with the alignment of planets and the way, you know, we would love to see the Earth go in terms of a positive evolution. So a lot of them do have geometries that support that, and I find them interesting because I'm not somebody who would really have followed those throughout the years. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting to be in the records and feel the different frequencies coming off of them. And there's been some of late that I don't even think are made by anything divine. There's a couple that, to me, are very, very human in origin. So they're interesting, all right. At least that's what I found while being in there. Some of them have the potential to really balance karma throughout all of the planets in our solar system, which was really phenomenal to see, actually.
Right. Where do you think we're heading?
Well, Ahana, where do you think we're heading?
Yeah, Ahana, you answer that one.
That's a great question. I mean, it's a wide open question. And,
right.
You know, I don't think anybody has any answer to that, really. But having said that, I think what is happening in general is it's like the 100 monkey syndrome in lots of ways in terms of the numbers of people who are becoming more and more aware. And it's that growth in consciousness that I think will tip the scales. So when Angel Rose was speaking a short while ago about, you know, that negative agenda and so on, one very interesting thing that we discovered, and it was on one of our mystical and sacred site tours of Ireland, was we were up on a sacred site one time, and she could see in the sky all these wheels within wheels. And a lot, she could actually see that a lot of the old paradigms were leaving. And particularly because we were in Ireland, it was a lot of the old Celtic structures, a lot of the old Druid structures, a lot of the old kings and queens, a lot of that old mythology that, you know, that was self-serving was actually leaving. And so to answer your question, I think that if we can tip the scales in terms of that growth of awareness, that growth of consciousness, then I think we're certainly set to experience a new golden age. I think we're very, very close to that. Now, at the same time, though, you know, we talked about a negative agenda using the human biology to create fear and to create cataclysmic outcomes and so on. That's also very much alive, but I sense that it's waning. I sense that the balance at this stage, you know, whereas it may have been 70-30 or 80-20 a few years ago, I think it's now coming closer to 50-50. And what that means, though, is it could go either way. So when you ask me what of the future, I think we're very much hanging in the balance right now. But it has come more in favor of positivity, of the emergence of a golden age recently than it has been for a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. So the outcome, as far as I'm concerned, the way I'm projecting it forward, is one of beauty and success and prosperity and growth and harmony and love.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like that answer, and I will refer Bobby to another evening with the records when Mother Mary actually came in to those records, and I have to tell you that would be the exception rather than the rule for any other being to really ever show up. But she specifically came in and asked if I would include messages from her in my book, and it was very much about the balance between the male and female energies within us. And she was basically saying that we would never have peace unless those energies came into harmony inside each one of our consciousness. And, you know, as long as we want to maintain these polarized extremes of power, whether it's patriarchal or even if you bring back the divine feminine and you say that the feminine has to be the ruler now, the patriarch has been the ruler for so many eons, you know, that's out of balance as well. And she was always bringing it back to those two elements inside of our own consciousness. And I'll bring it back when you ask that question about where are we headed. Certainly, the opportunity is there for us to totally shift into a golden age. I believe the cycles are aligned that way for that to happen. Now, you know, as Ahana was mentioning, what we do have against us is we're being attacked, if I can use that word, from the other side, relentlessly, really, and in energy wars that a lot of us aren't even aware of. So it's so important to really look within and to balance those parts of ourselves and come into harmony inside. And it is the reason why forgiveness is such an important part of this, because anything that we have that's still gnawing at us, that we're not we haven't released or we're not at peace with, certainly interferes with this whole paradigm shift, because this paradigm shift is allowing us to move into cooperation and harmony. It's not about competing with your brother anymore. It's not even about maintaining survival. It's finally about getting out of this codependence and coming into true abundance and prosperity, which really is communication with all life everywhere. So I think the potential is definitely there. Certainly, the forces of Source are doing whatever they can to give us more light, to help us, and more beings are coming in to aid us. So, you know, I feel very positive about it, actually. I think that as long as we don't get lazy and think just because we're not having a tsunami or a major earthquake that we can all kind of go back into the old ways, I think we have to be careful about that.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think of the beliefs that are holding us back? Do you think that we have a belief system that is holding us back?
I think a lot of our belief system are holding us back, and I think we have a, you know, I'll go into this a little bit. I actually believe we have a split spirit,
okay.
And this is one of the biggest problems, and it's something Source corrected us about, because I was always under the belief that we had a split mind. You know, when you think that we're capable of having both positive and negative thoughts, and a lot of times they'll flip back and forth within a 5-minute period, or certainly all day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered, at times it seems to be more difficult to maintain a positive pole. I always wondered about that. And then Source actually educated us and told us that really we have a split spirit, because there actually was a fall in the universe way, way back when, that actually split Earth, that was a paradise, where part of it fell into a lower density. And with that, you know, the beings that were there also became fragmented. So it was explaining to us that the problem we actually have is really not in our beliefs, it's in our actual spirit bodies, where we have a memory of two things. We have a memory that there was once a paradise, because we're all yearning to get back there. And yet we also are trying to reconcile this part of us that's a spirit in a human body that seems to be at war with itself and so limited. And it was saying that we really have to look at the level of our spirits, because your spirit is really the part of you that thinks and decides and observes. So, you know, it gave us a way, actually. It actually said we needed to go to our spirit and see what we were holding on to in our spirit essence. And this does involve a bit of intuition and a bit of working with somebody who would have those gifts to see at those levels. But what you would do is, if you can't go in and look at your own spirit, you could even really just go in and ask to be shown any part of your spirit that's not in harmony. And I had somebody do it for me. And right away after that group, I asked this person to look into my spirit. And it showed me heartbreak that I hadn't released. And as soon as they said it, I just knew what it was. I 100% got it. But then I appealed to a higher part of myself to help me heal it. And what proceeded from there was a series of dreams. I think it went on 2 or 3 weeks, where every night I would just ask, anything that's unhealed in my spirit body, please just show it to me, help me out through it. And I went through this huge healing period for 2 or 3 weeks. But I'm understanding that that's the level you have to work. It wouldn't be enough to just say I'm going to change my mind about something. I suppose it depends really on what the issue is. If it's something small, a program you were taught in childhood, perhaps you could just change your mind about it if the truth is revealed to you about what is the truth, really. But other things that are trauma, that are really deep trauma, that have even occurred in other dimensions, you have to go to the spirit to actually see what it's holding there. So I had to bring in that dimension of it to you. So when you say to me, do our beliefs hold us back? I say yes, but I also say our trauma holds us back. Okay?
Yeah. A whole new question. Spirit of Love Project, what is that?
Oh, gosh. Do we have enough time? I'll explain it to you as briefly as I possibly can.
Okay.
Your listeners wouldn't know, Bobby, that I'm an artist.
Okay.
And I paint. What I paint, though, well, let me put it to you this way. I started off many, many years ago painting bridges and trees and landscapes and seascapes and so on. And one day, Angel Rose asked me to paint a past life of hers. And I said, hang on a second now. You know, I can paint what I see, and you're asking me to paint something that I can't see. But, you know, she worked with me, and I went and I stayed with it. And I managed to be able to see something that I hadn't seen before in another person. And that was an image of a past life. Now, let me just explain it to you as best I can this way. What I was seeing was like a corner of a triangle, just an angle. And she said to me, now, that doesn't mean much. Go back in again, tune in, focus on it, see what else it is. And the more I focused on it, the more I realized that what I was actually seeing was a corner of a pyramid. And then it developed to where I was actually looking at a past life of hers in Egypt. Now, we didn't know each other very long that time, and she independently verified to me that she did indeed remember that past life that I was describing. So that was very, very reassuring for me, that I could actually see something and paint something that heretofore I wasn't capable of seeing. But interestingly enough, too, that's where her name came from, because the angles that I was seeing, her name is Angale, which struck me really because it's the Irish word for angel, Angale, and these were the angles that I was seeing in the corners of the pyramid. But to move on to the Spirit of Love project, what was happening was a lot of people were coming to me to solve their problems, and they may have been health problems or financial problems, that kind of thing, using the art, because what I would do is I'd look at their energy fields in the same way as I tuned into a past life of Angel Rose. I'd look at their, and I'd see their energy fields, and I'd see what the problem was. And, for example, I would see perhaps daggers or implements of war in their energy fields, or injuries or illnesses or sicknesses or whatever. But then I would take that and turn it around and paint for them instead the resolution of the issue. And I'll give you two quick examples of that. The first one was where I saw at the base of a woman's spine, I could see that there was like what looked like two black daggers going into the base of her spine. And this was in Ireland at the time. And she said to me, oh my God, she said, I've been to every doctor in Ireland and nobody's been able to resolve that lower back pain. And so the solution to that was simple for me. I just repainted her spine in its divine perfection, removed the daggers. And she stood up from the table. She walked around. She bent over and twisted and turned, did all kinds of maneuvers, just checking. And I thought she was walking off without paying me for the picture. But she was just testing. And she came back and she said, I can't believe it, but I'm free of back pain for the first time in my life. Now, I just have to say, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a healer. I don't profess to it. I'm just giving an example of the power of these pictures. Another quick example was where I tuned into a woman's energy field and I painted what I saw, which was a bunch of coins, gold coins, falling out of the woman's hands. And I said to her, you're losing money. She said, I've just lost $3.5 million. This was in New York. Wow. And, you know, the solution to that was quite simple, really. I took the picture and I turned it up the other way so that the gold coins were coming back into her hands. And I said, take that home, put it in your bedroom or put it in your kitchen, somewhere where you're going to see it. Basically, it was changing the paradigm. It was embedding itself into the pineal every time she looked at it as being the new paradigm. But sure enough, within a short space of time, she contacted us to tell us that she recovered every single penny. So that's an example. Now, here's the thing, though. I was doing this kind of fixing, resolving things for people. And then one day we were walking in a beautiful part of the Wicklow Mountains in Ireland, and I got a very, very clear download from a source that said I was to no longer focus on what was wrong with people. Instead, I was to focus on what was right. I was to focus on the spirit of love that was inside everybody. And the moment I got that clarity, everything changed. I had to form this project called the Spirit of Love Project. So instead of seeing anything that was wrong, I would actually paint the spark of divinity that was inside people. And at this stage, I've painted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these pictures. And you can actually see them now if you were to go to ahonu.com, that's ahonu.com/spirit of love. And spirit of love is all one word. ahonu.com/spirit of love. And you can actually see these pictures rotating around the earth. They're forming a virtual shield of love around the earth. It's a most beautiful project that we found ourselves involved in and continue to do to this day. So if any of your listeners were interested in that, you can contact me through that website and join the project. And those pictures work for people on a number of different levels. They really reinforce that divine aspect of themselves, that spirit of love that's inside all of us.
Wow. Well, that's
they are beautiful. They are really beautiful pictures.
Just amazing. It's
very powerful pictures, actually. Mm-hmm. And if you see them rotating around the Earth on his website, that was the other piece Source guided him to do, was to actually put that frequency around the planet, you know, rotate, because it was saying that it has put a piece of itself inside every one of us. And the interesting part of those pictures is they were revealing people's soul contract and what they were here to do. And we thought, well, of course, you know, the spirit of God is within you, then your purpose for being here is there as well. We didn't expect that, but that's what was happening. Each picture showed the person's soul contract, so it was quite amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great. It's, boy, we have recovered a lot of stuff today. You know, I just keep going. And you got your new book coming out soon, I guess.
Well, it is out, actually.
Oh, it is.
It is available on Amazon.com. It's called A Time of Change by Angel Rosa Grady, because there are a few out there called A Time of Change. So, yeah, it's available. It's available now if anyone wants to order it. You can either order it on Amazon, or we have
atimeofchange.info.
Yeah, website called atimeofchange.info, where they can also get it.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just got the shipment today in my home.
Oh, wow. And the session you're going to be doing this weekend, I guess, is it?
It will be, yeah. It'll be a group Akashic Records session, I believe, on the Friday night there.
Right.
And I don't even know what the contact. I think Lily Mitchell Clark has contact info on it. It's being arranged by people in Toronto for me.
Oh, I see.
So,
okay.
Yeah,
I've got a contact.
They will
number.
Be able to come to that if they'd like and ask any question of spirit that they would like.
Right, for our Toronto people, I've got a contact. Helen, would it be?
Helen Lee.
Yeah, Helen Lee. Okay, and you can contact her at in
yeah,
Toronto.
Yeah, just a second. I actually don't know that offhand, believe it or not, Bobby. So yeah. I'll go grab it for you. Talk to Kevin.
I got the telephone number here. It's 647-740-4044. Okay. That's at 5580 Kennedy Road, Suite 4, Mississauga, Ontario, right?
Yes.
I think. Yeah. And
yeah.
So, you know.
If anybody wants to come, because those are, those sessions are really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
When Source comes through and answers any kind of a universal or spiritual question.
If anybody wants to get the summaries of those, Bobby, they can actually just go to her website. If they can't make the actual meeting, her website is angelrose.com, AngelRose.com. And there they can sign up just to get the summaries of each weekly group Akashic Record meeting. And they're very, very profound. There's people, they're life-changing. We get an enormous amount of testimonials, the differences that they have made in people's lives, just to read the summaries.
Well, you
can
know,
you tell he's my promoter?
Yeah. Well, you're certainly awakening the people, and that's what it's all about. And that's what we're about here, is spreading the word about people like you, who can assist in the awakening, because I think that's what certainly is needed, and not only needed, but I think it's something that's going to be inevitable through that energy flow that is coming onto the planet now.
Absolutely.
I really get upset with people that think it's the end of the world in 2012. You know, December 21st at midnight, that's it. Well, I'm sorry, but we have a program that we are doing. And it's on December 22nd.
That's my bookings for next year.
Okay, we're doing it on December 22nd from noon till 4. And we've got some of the heavy hitters from ufology, metaphysics, and the paranormal coming in. And we should have a great time for about 4 hours and talk about the world that is still here.
Absolutely. We agree.
And we've been advertising it on our page because I think that it also puts a little bit of hope for people that are a little bit desperate and thinking that you know, horrible things are going to happen. Well, I'm sorry, but I got a program on the 22nd, and I don't intend to miss it. So
yeah,
we're going to be here.
Yeah, that's right. And it has to be held. You know, that we are continuing. Life is continuing. We're certainly not done yet.
For sure. I'd like to thank you both for coming over today. It's been a pleasure. It's certainly been an honor to have you on the program. And we are going into a different session right now. We go into a talk session afterwards, and you can join us in chat if you like. It's projectfreedom.ws is our website. And, yeah, we do a little bit of a recap at the end. And hopefully we'll get to talk to you soon again.
Thank you so much for having us on, Bobby.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have yourself a good day. Bye-bye.